Saracens are the first team to book their place in the Heineken Champions Cup quarterfinals after they made it 5 wins from 5 with victory at Lyon. Meanwhile, Racing 92 and Toulouse said au revoir to their 100% records after round 5 defeats by Ulster and the holders Leinster. Munster, Exeter, Saracens, Glasgow and Edinburgh, Montpellier are perhaps the pick of the round 6 encounters as the top 2 teams go head-to-head in 3 of the pools. There are 7 more quarter-final places and 4 crucial home ties up for grabs in this weekend's make-or-break matches. The former France captain Rafael Ibanez and ex-Edinburgh coach Rob Moffat join us on your essential European rugby preview, the Champions Rugby Show. Hello, I'm James Burridge. Welcome to the Champions Rugby Show. Tom May is back, once of Newcastle, Toulon, Northampton and England. And it's great to have Sean Holly with us too, formerly Bristol and Ospreys coach. Now, you two fellas have worked before.
Yes, we have. Yeah, we're lifelong friends.
Where was it? South of France?
We had a very difficult 6 weeks in the south of France.
Oh, tough. My heart bleeds for both of you.
It was tough. Somebody's got to do it though, you know?
Did he pay his way in the bar?
Yes, he did. I don't care what anybody says. He put his hand in his pocket.
There's a first time for everything. Sean, your best win of the weekend in Europe then?
I think Munster were really impressive at Gloucester on Friday night. But you can't look further than Edinburgh's win in Toulon. You know, Richard Cockerell's done a fantastic job there. And to go there and get that win and put themselves right on the brink of a quarterfinal spot now with a home tie to come, I think that was the win for me.
And what does it say about the Pro 14? I mean, once again, they are mixing it with the best.
Yeah, they are, particularly the Irish teams. You know, all Irish teams winning, but, you know, the Scottish teams have been excellent. You know, Glasgow winning again. Edinburgh's win, as I mentioned. You know, and the Scarlets, you know, after a real tough time in the Pro 14 of late, are coming good again. So, yeah, it's looking pretty strong for the Pro 14 teams.
What about the English teams, Tom? You look at the run of English teams who getting to the quarter-final stages. Saracens. The only team, once again, maybe Exeter, if they can pull off a miracle at Thomond Park.
Yeah, and it's been talked about, hasn't it, over the weekend, what the structure of the English competition, the English domestic league, does to form moving into Europe, how the Pro 14 functions, and it's clearly working for them right now. And actually, I guess the French teams are slightly different. Their budgets are slightly different to anyone else's, so they're a slightly different beast. But I think from an English perspective, it's fairly disappointing to see, you know, Saracens in there on their own and few other teams looking like they've even got a sniff.
And on that, Tom, you look at the 2015-16 season, there were 5 English clubs in the last 8. And then it was Wasps, Saracens, then Saracens, and now maybe Saracens again. What has happened in the last, 3 seasons?
The first thing you have to say is I think the Pro 14 competition's got stronger. And the teams within there have improved. Some of those, like Ulster, you know, they had a great win this weekend at Ravenhill against Racing. They are now coming back to the Ulster that we knew. Munster have probably been off their top form over the past couple of seasons. But from an English perspective, the Premiership is a huge beast and these teams knock lumps out of each other all the time. And I think the difference we're seeing is perhaps the players are overcooked going into European competition when actually in other competitions they're looked after and that is the bread and butter. They're really going after the Champions Cup.
Is that what you make of it, Sean?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you take the Irish teams and the Welsh teams, the central contract issue is big for them because their big players get rested at key moments, not just ahead of the Six Nations, but for European competition. And that takes its toll. I agree with Tom. In the English Premiership, you know, week in, week out, they put their strongest team out. They're asked to go out there and perform in big, big games. Whereas these Pro 14 teams come into it a little bit more fresh. I also think there's a little bit of interpretation with the referees. I think I mentioned this before that in the Pro 14, they're exposed to a range of referees from different countries, whereas in the English Premiership, it's English referees. And rightly so, they're trying to bring English refs through. But when it comes to these competitions, then there's a little bit of interpretation issue.
Is that where they're missing a trick, do you think, Tom?
There's probably a case in point that it takes a bit of time to adapt when you're given new referees. I think all clubs will understand exactly what Wayne Barnes does or whichever referee they're going to get during the Premiership. They know what their tendencies are. when you're thrown into a different environment, it takes a period of time to learn, and you don't get a chance in the Champions Cup to really sort of warm yourself into it.
Well, you can keep getting involved with the competition on social media, of course. Twitter at Champions Cup. Search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram. Christopher Toole's been in touch on Twitter saying, as an Ulster supporter, I'd say Ulster beating Racing 92. But as a rugby fan, you have to give it to Edinburgh for a fantastic result from the weekend. Next, a full preview then of Heineken Champions Cup Round 6.
This is the Champions Rugby Show.
We'll talk about what happened in round 5 as we look ahead to the final 10 matches in this season's pool stage. But we'll start in pool 1, where defending champions Leinster leapfrogged Toulouse at the top after a 29-13 victory at the RDS in Dublin. And Bath edged out Wasps 18-16 at the Rec, courtesy of a late Reece Priestland penalty. So looking at pool 1, Leinster top on 20, Toulouse on 17, Bath and Wasps out of it, which means this weekend Leinster travel to Wasps. Toulouse host Bath. Let's start with that opening game, Wasps-Leinster, and reflect a little on the games just gone. Tom, Leinster just went up another gear. I don't think anybody saw that level of performance against someone like Toulouse.
No, I think the first thing to say is Toulouse are flying in their domestic competition and the wheels properly came off there. But that could happen to anyone when they come up against Leinster. We've seen them do that to Wasps in the first round of this competition. And really, having seen that game, it was almost like blue wave after a blue wave of big, big carriers. I thought Conan was brilliant. But really what stood out for me was Leinster's ability to see an opportunity and get the ball into that space and then take that opportunity, whether it be a crossfield kick or big wide passes, that they saw space, shifted the ball and made the most of their chances.
Sean, I was looking at one particular picture during the game where the camera just panned from left to right and you saw the injured team, which virtually half a rugby team in itself.
Well, if you think Sexton, Sean O'Brien, Robbie Henshaw, Rob Carney, Devon Toner, to name but five, and a lot of people who don't watch Pro 14 rugby will look at somebody like Ross Byrne, Jack Conan. They're not familiar names. Adam Byrne on the wing. They're not familiar names to them. They're household names. But I've watched them a lot this year without their big names. And in the Pro 14, they quite happily put a second string, maybe a third string out there and demolish some real good sides in the Pro 14. So they have a huge blueprint. They've got a conveyor belt of players coming through their school system and their squad is fantastic. The support is there at the RDS. They're a juggernaut at the moment and they're going to be very difficult to stop.
I think to back up that point, when you're a player that's maybe one of those second string or third string in inverted commas players, but you know you're going to get game time,
Makes a difference, massively,
because if you're playing in the Premiership and you're maybe third choice, you're not often getting a sniff.
They're trusted then, yeah. So that's
they
the
are
difference.
Trusted, and it's something I think, you know. Let's look at the Challenge Cup just quickly. Northampton's side had a raft of youngsters. They're given an opportunity, yeah. And they did brilliantly. If you trust young players and they get that experience, then actually when they're really required, like Leinster needed them yesterday. Mm. They're playing at the top of their game.
And all this talk at the moment about who's going to follow after Sexton. Well, Ross Burns just said, well, hello, what about me?
And they've got others, you know. They've got a group of youngsters there that are playing in the A competition that they have now in the Pro 14. It's between the Irish and the Welsh sides. So they're ready-made. They play in that sort of standard and in they go. And Tom's right. So we talked about the central contract issue. When they know Sexton isn't going to play for the first four games of the Pro 14 season, in steps Ross Burns. He's going to get his game time. And then when Sexton does play, they've got a ready-made bench to come off and real finish the last 20 minutes. So it's a pretty good blueprint at the moment.
Well, let's speak to the former France captain, Raphael Ibanez, who covered the Leinster-Toulouse game for FR Dirt. Rafe, great to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Thank you. Yeah, good evening, guys.
Bonsoir. Give us the French perspective. What did you make of it?
Well, I think the biggest expectation this weekend was the Toulouse game facing the current European champions, and it was a massive test for Toulouse because they were on a very very positive situation with the 12 wins, you know, out of 12 games. So it was a massive test, and what happened is everyone, you know, in the team realized, you know, it was another step to face Leinster, and it was a great game.
Defensively, though, I mean, how many tackles did they put in? There comes a point, surely, though, when you can't keep defending forever.
Yes, I think especially in the first half, Toulouse were really brave. They collectively made a massive effort defending their own try line, but unfortunately, to make sure you know you can reach your goals and win a game, you need both. You need defense and attack. And unfortunately for Toulouse, they didn't have enough position to bring any danger in the Leinster setup.
Rafa, how big is it for French rugby to have Toulouse back at the top of their game? We've had Toulon over the last few years, Racing, but now Toulouse, who've probably been slightly off the boil, even in their own eyes, they're now back right in with the big guys.
Yeah, Toulouse, they lead by example at the moment because they really put a lot of faith into their young players. And I think it's so important, especially when you think about where France stands at the minute, you know, in terms of world ranking, ninth, which is not good enough. And I think Toulouse, you know, they try to develop young players to make sure they come through. And they're doing a lot of that. They're a great job. And also, I think the way they want to play as well, it's something really important, especially when you know the rugby now, you know, is asking some questions in terms of the physical impact with unfortunately a few big problems here in France. So the way they play, it's very interesting because it's all about getting some continuity into the game, offloading the ball into contact, staying on your feet, and that's the old Toulouse, but that's a new Toulouse now.
Rafa, Bath won narrowly against Wasps this weekend, but do you see next week as a comfortable bonus point win for Toulouse?
I think Toulouse will qualify because they only have to win next weekend and at home. Obviously, they were pretty far from winning against Leinster, but it was probably too much to ask to this young team. But now, you know, they play at home next weekend and have a massive opportunity against Bath. So I think they would qualify, and but not even if they won't play a home quarterfinal, it's still a great achievement and something they can target.
When was the last time, Rafa, you saw Toulouse under that level of consistent pressure? Because they have been flying both top 14 and in Europe.
Yeah, I don't think they faced this year so far a team with so many skills, with so much intensity. I'm talking about Leinster. Maybe Clermont a few weeks ago, away from home, you know, they drew against Clermont, and it was a very interesting game. But apart from that, I can't see them facing such a good team like Leinster.
And you look at Saracens, one of your old clubs as well. we've seen what you thought of Leinster. What do you make of Saracens? What's the difference between those two teams at the moment?
The main thing for them is, you know, they're still on top. You know, they're still on top of their game, and they know exactly what they want to do on the pitch. Obviously, they can lose some games, especially it happened in the Premiership recently. But when it matters, really, it's such a good team to watch. And I think they are, with Leinster, the main contenders for this year in the Champions Cup.
Rafa, great to have you on the pod again. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
With pleasure, yeah. Thank you. A bientôt.
A bientôt aussi. Rafael Ibanez there. Tom, just on Toulouse, because we haven't really mentioned them before we spoke to Rafa there. When they had the chance to play with possession, they didn't really treasure possession much, did they? Or maybe they weren't allowed to?
No, I think it was a combination of the both. They made a few more mistakes than we've seen them make over the past few weeks. But also, when you're under pressure like that from Leinster, you know, they were hot in attack, but certainly applying pressure defensively as well. And that's maybe something some of the other French teams in the domestic league, when they come up against Toulouse, they probably just take their foot off the gas and think, well, some of these young lads can have a run against these fellas. So I think Toulouse will be pretty happy about where they're at right now. I think they'll get a 5-pointer this week, which will put them in a pretty good position moving towards the quarterfinals.
And their pack, Sean, was 950 kg. Yeah. And yet Leinster found a way to play around that. I mean, De Flier going in there at the breakdown was just merciless. What do you make of Toulouse's chances in the latter stages? Let's say they do make the last eight.
Look, if they come up against a Leinster again, they'll struggle. And Munster, who play with a similar intensity. I think that's what the French sides like Toulouse have been surprised about, is the intensity with which Leinster play. They bombarded Toulouse for a huge period in the first half. And those big forwards had to make so many tackles. When it came to ball in hand then, they were blowing a little bit, you know, walking around the field. Leinster are relentless. They keep going and going. And again, I go back to that sort of depth chart that they have. Now, unsung heroes like James Ryan, Reece Ruddock, who was the captain, comes in, very rarely gets mentioned, was outstanding, and then you got Van der Vlier. You know, they're just so uncompromising and physical, and the intensity with which they play surprises teams like Toulouse.
And therefore, for the two teams they're playing respectively, Wasps and Bath, well, Wasps are hosting Leinster. Let's play devil's advocate here. Can you see Wasps upsetting the apple cart here?
No, I genuinely can't. You know, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, Leinster are so good. Sexton possibly could come back in there and just adds to it. They know how to win away from home. You know, they've got the bit between the teeth here. They're going to want a home court, a home semi, win the thing. And on the flip side, I know nobody wants to go into a game to lose, but we mentioned about the English Premiership. Dai Young now has got a difficult situation.
Well, yes, so it's Blackadder as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're out of the competition. They've got English Premiership to think about. What sort of team does he put out there off the back of a heartbreaking loss, you know, this weekend?
And what we've said earlier on, now's an opportunity for those guys to give the young lads that haven't had an opportunity.
But then they'll
get
panned and criticised for not blooding a full strength team.
Who would be a coach?
You can't win, can you? To the games then, both Pool 1 matches, Sunday the 20th this weekend, 3:15 GMT, Toulouse-Bath at the Stade Ernest Vallon, FL2, BT Sport 3 and BN Sports, and then Wasps-Leinster, 3:15 GMT at the Rico on BT Sport 2 and 4K UHD. We'll start with you, Sean, for the Toulouse-Bath game.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on this one. Bonus point win, Bath. We're lucky to win against Wasps this weekend. Not having a great season in my eyes, so Toulouse, bonus point win.
Tom?
I go Toulouse, bonus point win as well.
And what about Wasps-Leinster?
I think that's probably a bonus point win to Leinster.
Yeah, I'll go along with that as well. They're too good.
It's easy so far. You wait to the other games. They're a bit more complicated. To Pool 3 next, where Saracens are the first team to confirm their quarterfinal place after a comfortable 28-10 win in Lyon, maintains their unbeaten record there. Glasgow, well, they took a giant leap towards the quarterfinals with a 33-24 bonus point victory over Cardiff. So Pool 3 looks like this. Saracens played 5-1-5. They've qualified with 23 points. Glasgow on 19. This next match will be an absolute cracker, a repeat of 2 years ago. Not in the quarterfinal stages, of course, but Tom, you look back on that last game from 2 years ago where Glasgow travelled to Allianz Park and they got a good thrashing that day. What can they learn from that?
Well, the first thing to say is a lot was expected from Glasgow that day and it really didn't come to fruition. And there's a lot of teams that travel to Allianz Park and don't get anywhere near close to the result that they feel they can. I think when Saracens are in form, and they have been in form for a fair amount of time now, I would think. I don't know, can't remember the last time they were really out of form.
Well, about 12 months ago, and then they kicked themselves out of it.
Exactly.
And, they've never forgotten it, have they?
No,
they have never forgotten it.
And they've become even more ruthless as a team. And I think this could be a fairly similar result to the last time that Glasgow made an appearance in North London.
And Sean, you look at the game of theirs against Lyon, they won that. And they were on the back foot for so much of it. They were second best at carries, defenders beaten, offloads, tackles.
Yeah. The thing with Saracens is they take their chances. That's the difference. They're so clinical. They have the players who have the know-how to do that. So, I think this is not a comfortable win, but it is a win. You know, they're going to qualify as seed one. But I think Glasgow have the team to score four tries. I think they can come away with a bonus point. And I think they'd be happy with that. They're leaking a few tries defensively. They've had a few speed bumps in their domestic competition. Lost to Benetton.
They didn't have a good Christmas, did they?
No, lost to Benetton in the Pro 14, which is a huge upset. But they seem to have got it back on the rails. John Humphrey spoke to him. You know, they've considered their driving more. They scored a couple of tries today against Cardiff Blues on that, but they leaked tries. But I think they'll go out the likes of Stuart Hogg, Tommy Seymour, those sort of characters that they have. They can score tries.
You're Dave Rennie, the Glasgow coach. How do you plot the downfall of Saracens, Sean?
It's very, very difficult. You know, I think they'll be working a lot on their defence. They're such an attacking team. They score a load of points in their domestic competition. As I said, they have the speedsters to do that. I think they're going to need to really front up physically up front. They've been lacking in that. They lack actually big ball carriers in their forwards, and you're not going to match what Saracens have in that department. So I think it's going to be playing from deep, counter-attacking, attacking kicks with Hastings at 10, and I think they'll go out and play and try and score four tries. I think if they come away with a point, get to 20 points in their pool, they'll be happy.
What about Saracens, Tom?
Just to add to that, I think that you have to really attack Saracens defensively as well. You cannot allow them any time on the ball. As soon as they get those structures in place, you know, you've got Jamie George forwards that are more than capable of spotting holes, pulling the ball out the back of players and really exposing defences from that point of view. Defensively, you just have to go after everyone and make sure you make it count, because if you're too slow out of the blocks, they pick holes in you and it can get embarrassing at times. From Saracens' point of view, I think they'll be relishing this. This is a really good opportunity to really thump home that first seeding in the quarterfinals. I think they'll you know, they're streets ahead in terms of points on the board. In my opinion, I've got them down as having 28 by the end of this. Yeah. So, you know, I think they'll be looking forward to this.
And everyone saw it. I mean, Alex Good once again, outstanding. That try he set up, that vision he has. And we are in January, and the Six Nations squad isn't going to be long away.
I think if you speak to Alex Good, he'll be like, do you know what? I'm just fed up with thinking about it.
Do you think there is any chance that Eddie Jones will name him in his squad?
Yeah. No. And I don't. That's not my, you know, you have to pick on form.
Give me a Welshman's perspective.
Liam Williams. Liam Williams for Wales is the Lions fullback, but Warren Gatland is reluctant to play him at 15. It's similar with Alex Good. You know, I think it's everybody outside Eddie Jones's office thinks he should be playing 15 for England. But
what doesn't he have?
What doesn't he have? Good question. Because for me, he has it all. You know, it'd be easy to say, or is he as good as Mike Brown under the high ball? Has he got a good kicking game? Well, he proves that week in, week out that he is. And he has that counter-attacking ability, which is a huge aspect of the game now. And he shows it week in, week out for Saracens. I feel sorry for him, but you've got so much strength and depth in that department.
I do. I think the sign of a really good player is one that can shift from fullback and be just as adept at 10.
Yeah.
That, for me, shows that his decision-making is on point. His footwork is ridiculous. I've never seen him get smashed. And I've tried as well.
I got to say, you're hardly a heavyweight, are you? Well, you are now.
I've tried to touch him. Oh, you're on fire, Burridge. Well, yeah.
We're going to come on to it later, but Jack Noll played really well today, 15.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you've got so much quality there. It's almost spoiled for choice.
We've talked about Colby as well.
Yeah.
At Toulouse.
Yeah.
Just a quick word on Cardiff-Lyon this weekend, Sean. What have you made of Cardiff? Because they did come back against Glasgow. And how much of a step up do you think this has been for them in the top flight of Europe?
Yeah, it's been a big, big step. Obviously, it was a huge fillip for the region to win the Challenge Cup last year. They lost their coaching staff, and they've been up and down, inconsistent in both Europe and in the Pro 14 this year. Decent performance again today. They made some changes, didn't put their strongest team out. They had a reasonable Christmas again in the Pro 14, but they flattered to deceive a little bit for me. Without their full tilt side, then they don't really compete. They're not quite there.
And Tom, equally, how disappointed have you been with Lyon?
Oh, I would have expected a lot more than them. And I think to finish on zip will be really, really upsetting for Pierre Mignone, knowing him as a player and a coach and how competitive he is. They've just been really, like, I guess, lacklustre, I think. And probably they don't have the squad to bat on both fronts. And I think the top 14 is their choice this year. And no matter how much you think, oh yeah, we'll give the Champions Cup, you know, a bit of a crack. If you go in with that mindset, you're going to get absolutely thumped.
It didn't help that they lost to Cardiff.
No.
At the start.
No, not at all. And I think then, with that sort of French mentality of, right, we'll go for one competition or the other. If you lose at home early doors, it's a bit like, well, we'll just pack up and go home.
Right, prediction time for both these Pool 3 matches. Saturday the 19th of January, 1 o'clock kickoffs, GMT. Saracens, Glasgow. Tom, at Allianz Park on BT Sport 2.
I've got them down for a five-pointer there. I don't think Glasgow will get anything out of that game either.
I'm going for a 5-1, so Saracens bonus. But I do think Glasgow will go and play and score four tries.
What about Cardiff-Lille at Cardiff Arms Park? BT Sport 3 and BN Sport, Sean.
Cardiff Blues will win that comfortably. I think they'll use it as a springboard to their domestic games coming up, and they'll win that with a bonus point.
Tom?
I can see a lot of youngsters flying over from Lyon for this one. I'm going to go with a Cardiff win.
You can get involved with the Heineken Champions Cup on social media. Twitter, it's at Champions Cup. Search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram.
For the latest news and the best content, go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com.
This is the Champions Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Sean Holly. Next, we'll discuss Pool 4 of the Heineken Champions Cup, where Ulster enhanced their quarterfinal prospects with a 26-22 victory over Racing 92 at the Kingspan, ending the French team's 100% record. And Scarlets put on a wonderful display of attacking rugby to dispatch Leicester 33-10 at Parky Scarlets and claim their first win in this season's competition. So, Pool 4 looks like this. Racing top with 21, Ulster 3 points back on 18, Scarlets and Leicester out of it. So the games this weekend, Racing 92 against Scarlets, Leicester against Ulster. Let's start with that Ulster Racing game. And Sean, wow, McFarlane took a risk because he rested a lot of his players for this game, and it's a gamble that's paid off.
Yeah, you know, over the Christmas, these Irish sides have the beauty of resting some players. You know, they're particularly big internationals. But you have to say, you know, give them credit, you know, they're coming back at the Kingspan, great crowd there in Ulster, and to beat Racing, who are one of the favourites this year, who themselves, of course, came back strongly, scored 4 tries. Jacob Stockdale, he's just on fire, isn't he? He just seems to know where the bounce of the ball goes, and I think they've...
Especially when it bounces with a leg break.
But you make your own luck, don't you? You know, yeah. He's got that about him. So they've got their tails up. McFarlane, to his credit, he didn't have a great start when he came as head coach. He came in late, but Ulster seemed to have gathered themselves and have some sort of consistency now, put themselves in the mix. I watched Leicester against the Scarlets. If they put that same side out against Ulster this week, I think Ulster can go there and win.
Just on Ulster, though, how much has that sapped their energy? Because they would have been emotionally right on point for that. And then they have to come down, and then they have to go again, and they have to go away from home.
I think they're pretty durable. You know, they're used to travelling, these guys, you know, in their Pro 14. I think they'll manage them well this week. I know Dwayne Peeler coached him, and, you know, they'll manage them early part of the week. They'll be right up for it. People like Rory Best, they're big characters. You know, McCloskey in the centre is a big, big ball carrier for them. It's going to be difficult for the Tigers to handle.
I think you're flying after a result like that. I don't think you feel a bit physically tired, and if you looked after at the start of a week as a player, you're like, right, I'm ready, I'm fresh to go again. You know,
and there's something on it now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you want as a player. I thought they were great. I like Addison and McCloskey in midfield. They've got good balance in that area.
Well, it's the core of their team. There's a real spine to Ulster now, isn't there?
Yeah, having seen Addison move there from Sale, he's done brilliantly. And the way he's attacking in that midfield, and he's a real threat every time he gets the ball and something happens in and around him. You know, we've talked a bit about Stockdale. I think that's every round he scored in.
Yeah. 6 tries in 5 pool games.
Cool. You know, and that's for someone that nearly gave rugby up. Yeah. You know, a bit on Racing. I think they will be disappointed. They got duffed up a bit, but I think we haven't seen the best of Vakatawa recently, and he was back to his best, just shrugging people off, and his physicality and pace was there. And Nakarawa, I mean, what an absolute freak!
It's just rude, some of the offloads he does.
Yeah,
it's obscene what he does, but he keeps doing it. You know, it's out the back, it's round the corners, over the top. It's like basketball. He's unbelievable.
You got 4 players literally smashing him, and the ball comes over the top. Nice, you know, nice pace, not smashed at anyone or thrown at anyone.
Obviously, no one's worked out how to bring him down. So if you're a coach...
He's 9 foot tall.
Yeah, I know, but you've still got to work out a way, haven't you? I mean, yeah. Sean, how would you bring down...
I think you've
Nakarawa?
Got to go 2-man tackles. You've got to go one low and chop his legs, because you can't go anywhere without your legs. And then you've got to target the ball. But he's waving it around.
Yeah. That's like a peanut, isn't it?
It is, you know, it's unbelievable.
I think the other aspect to that is, okay, you're going in with 2 on him. You've got to marshal the support runners around him. So anyone that's coming anywhere near Vakatawa has to be somehow taken out of the game. Yeah. Legally, of course, James. We don't cheat in our game.
If you go to sleep on your inside defence, if you don't push hard on the inside, he's going to find somebody with that offload, isn't he?
We were talking last week about whether Leinster were ever so slightly stuck in second or third gear. They completely smashed that theory in flames. What about Racing? How far off the pace are they from where they want to be in Europe right now?
I don't think they're that far away. I mean, we talked before the show about how French teams don't travel, that age-old discussion, isn't it? I've seen signs in Racing in this year's tournament that they are travelling with a bit more determination and a little bit more about them. I saw it in patches in this game. You know, they came back, they nearly got there. So I just think they can put their foot on the gas when they need to. They've got the quality and the pedigree. I think it's going to be, you know, Racing are going to be one of the ones thereabouts at the end.
It sounds a bit daft, and maybe it is daft, and I'm sure the pair of you will tell me.
It's daft.
But actually playing La Défense, I'm not sure that does them many favours, because you go to Ravenhill on an outside field where it's a bit boggy. It's not the flashiest of pitches, and I think probably it takes a bit of getting used to. When you've been training indoors, it's probably nice temperature, and the style of game they want to play is one thing, and they can do that time and time and time again in the stadium in Paris. We haven't quite seen it outside yet, away from home.
Which team, if Racing do get there, would they want to play in the quarterfinals?
Oosh, not Leinster.
I think Glasgow. Possibly, I think they
could
beat
a prospect
Glasgow.
That would be for Finn Russell.
Yeah, I think they could beat Glasgow, you know, home or away. I really do. The way Glasgow, they're vulnerable at the moment. Yes, they can score tries and, you know, they are going to make it, I think, but that's the side they would want.
Well, also, I think that if they got a home tie, they'd fancy Ulster again as well.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly possible. The fixture this weekend, Saturday the 19th of January at 3:15 GMT. Racing 92 against Scarlets at Paris La Défense Arena on BN Sports and BT Sport 3. Your predictions, fellas?
I am going to go with a 5-pointer for Racing in that game. Mm.
And just on that, Sean, I mean, Scarlets, the way they came back against Leicester, yeah, and really showed a bit of swagger again,
yeah,
for Welsh rugby, I think that was important, wasn't it?
Yeah, massive. They're big men that they've got left standing have stood up. Ken Owens playing at number 8, God bless him. You know, it was fantastic. He was unbelievable. Man of the match, you know, try scoring. Hadley Parks, we finally saw where Warren Gatland has chosen him for Wales. He came back playing in his rightful position. So it was good to see. But, you know, I think the Leicester side was poor, if I'm honest. But it's good to see Scarlets putting up some sort of performance.
Can they do that at La Défense?
No way. No, they...
They
absolutely decimated, James. They decimated with injuries right across the board. And they're out. You know, they've salvaged a bit of pride with that win against the Tigers. I can't see it. You know, there are a lot of supporters going out there to Racing. I know that, and having a good time. So I hope Paris is ready for the Scarlets fans, but it's a bridge too far at this stage of the season.
What about Ulster then coming up against Leicester? Welford Road, BT Sport 2. Leicester have begun to get a bit of confidence back at home, Tom, but will Ulster shatter that?
They have begun to get a bit more confidence at home, but I just think they'll think, right, we're out of this now. We need to try and rest up some of our players, get our focus on the Premiership. I think that's an away win.
I agree. I think there's too much on it for Ulster. They'll be really focused and they'll get the result.
To pool two next, when Munster fly half, Joey Carberry scored 26 points as the Irish province tightened their grip on pool two with a 41-15 bonus point win at Gloucester. Meanwhile, Exeter Chiefs' 34-12 bonus point win over Cash keeps themselves in with a chance of progressing. Pool two looks like this. Munster top of 17, Exeter on 13, Cast and Gloucester out of it. And Joey Carberry, wow, what a performance. I mean, we talked about Ross Byrne earlier, but this was equally impressive, if not more so.
Well, he's showing now why, you know, Joe Schmidt wanted him to move to Munster, because he's, you know, he needs to be playing. He's first choice. He's that good. You know, he is obviously the next 10 behind Sexton. So he's just an unbelievable player, because he has a bit of a swagger about him. You know, I coached a player called James Hook, who he sort of reminds me of Hookie in his prime. You know, he's got that swagger. He can make a break. He puts people in space, kicks like a dream. You know, so, and he's quite tough for a nice looking lad, if you know. So, a bit like Tom.
They used to say, oh, you took it right out of my life. Oh, you teed me up.
Oh, God.
Shame it's not like that anymore, mate.
But he was unbelievable. And to go to King's Home on a Friday night, you know, in a big game and perform like that shows he's got a lot about him.
They were ruthless, Munster. Psychologically, they had an edge, Tom. And we talked at the top of the pod about how English and Irish teams prepared. This was almost characterised in this game because Munster, they've just got that nous at this stage, don't they? And because Gloucester haven't played many games like this recently, it really counts for something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I think it also comes down to when you really break these games down, it's the same things. It's the things that you base rugby on that really win, and physicality was one of them. Mm. I thought Stander was brilliant. Both Scannells were sensational, as was Holland when he came on for Omani. And that really set the tone. And Gloucester didn't really have any answers for anything that Munster threw at them. I thought the attacking kicking game from Munster was really clever as well. They'd obviously done their analysis pretty well and knew there were holes in behind that front line, and that nearly worked once or twice. Certainly worked once and nearly worked twice for them. Bit of a rude awakening, I think, for Gloucester. You know, they started really well this season, and then they sort of tailed off, losing Cipriani, and then you know, came back and he did one or two bits of trickery, but really they weren't really at the races.
Yeah, it's no surprise to me, boys. I got to be honest, because again, I see these guys a lot. You know, I coached against Munster for 9 years, and you can never get away from them. And again, going back to the Toulouse argument with Leinster, Gloucester would have been surprised by the intensity for 85 minutes that these Irish sides go for. They fight tooth and nail for inches, and they're unbelievable. You're talking about a side now for our English listeners.
Why would they be surprised about it, though? I mean, this is Munster.
Yeah, but they don't play them all the time, do they? That's the thing with the Premiership. You get ingrained in this sort of similar game every week, attritional sort of pace of a game, unless you play a Saracens. And then Munster come and go bang, smash you in the face, you know, and they just keep coming and keep coming. Billy Holland, you know, our English listeners will be going, who the hell is Billy Holland? Well, you know, he's played 200 games for Leinster, you know, and he's been around, you know, these sort of characters. And they fight tooth and nail. So this is a side, they'd finish in the top three every season in the English Premiership. That's how good they are. With Carberry at the helm as well now.
You know, how different is he to Sexton?
He's a bit more of a risk taker. I think Sexton is a bit more of a hard-nosed, driving, to-the-line sort of player. You know, he could play in the back row, Johnny Sexton. There's a bit more flair to him, Carberry. You know, and I think he could possibly be a slightly better kicker in terms of attacking kicks than Sexton, which is something to say, isn't it? But he hasn't quite got the steel that Sexton has at the moment, maybe the defensive qualities.
So based on your argument, what hope do you give Exeter at Tamen Park this weekend?
Well, Exeter are so good. I really like Rob Baxter, you know, and I just think he's done such a good thing with the culture there. That's one thing they can match Munster with. But you're playing against 16 men in Tamen Park. You know, you go there and the ref is intimidated. You're intimidated in the stand. Your coaches have to sit with all the fans. You can't say anything because all the fans are telling you to shush. You
know? And that's how they say it?
Yeah, oh, shush.
You know, so. I think it's the best stadium in Europe. And go right up there. Yeah. I've been very lucky to commentate there a few times. There is nowhere like it, Tamen Park. Yeah.
It's a real tough place to go. If there's one English side that can go there and do it, it's Exeter. But everything has to go right for them, and a few things have to go wrong for Munster.
Saria McGeek and Tom has said in the press this week, Exeter's weakness is that whilst their game is consistent, it is also readable, and they lack a plan B. Even though they have just pumped cast. Give me your view on what...
Well, I think it's quite clear what Exeter are trying to do in terms of ball in play time, that, you know, that really try and apply pressure to other teams' defences. To say they haven't got a plan B, I think, is fairly tough on them. Because with the likes of Steenson, he's one of the best game managers around, I think, in terms of the way he thinks about the game. But really, the way they have to try and play with the players they have, you obviously play to your strengths, and that is one of their strengths, is that they can shift the ball quickly, and they've got great players to try and attack with. Cordero, I mean, they must be pulling their hair out of the fact that they can't afford to keep him next season, because he is sensational to watch and adds a huge amount to them.
If there was a recipe that we would go to as the Ospreys to get a win and eventually manage to get wins in Tamen Park, is if you go there and try and play too much, you're playing into their hands. They chase down everything, they hack through, you know, they thrive on turnovers. So you don't want to play too much, and Exeter are capable of doing that, you know, and so you take it to the last 10, 15 minutes within a score, and that's when the pressure and the crowd turns on the home team. So if Exeter can do that, they have a game then in the last 10, 15 to maybe go and do it, but I don't think they will.
The bigger problem for Munster might be that unless they win with 5 points, they might not have a home quarter final.
No, and me doing my little sums here, I think they have to really try and put Exeter away to make sure that they can keep in and finish in fourth spot, so they get a home quarter final. You know, the Toulouse are going to be at home against Bath, so, you know, they're probably thinking, well, that's going to be a 5-pointer, and they might run some tries in, so we're going to have to do the same.
How, if you're Rob Baxter, though, then, Sean, how would you prepare emotionally for this? Because that Castro performance, that victory, was impressive. Great to see Nell back looking sharp as ever. Can't believe the guy's been injured again. But to come back the way he did, this is a real emotional test for Exeter.
I think he'd be bringing them down as much as anything. They've been involved in big, big games, Exeter, in the Premiership. You know, I think they have the right mentality. He keeps them grounded. He's got a great culture there. Good senior players with a sprinkle of stardust. Noel being one. I thought Henry Slade today put some real magical touches in as well. So he's one that can break them. But I think he'll go along with what I've just said, James, to be honest. Be a bit more pragmatic. I think he'll go with Steenson at 10 rather than Simmons, who played really well today. And then have that approach where, come on, Munster, you've got to come and play. You've got to come and get your 5 points. We've just got to try and take you to the wire and get over the line in the end.
The classic away,
smash and
away
grab,
game.
Smash and grab.
Just a word on Cast, Gloucester, Tom. Cast have come close, but where's it gone wrong for them in Europe?
Well, it's never quite gone right in Europe for them so far, is it? You know, they've really struggled. Look, they've managed to come sort of along the rails at the final stages of the top 14. Sean and I watched the final last year, and you know, they were brilliant in that final. But they can only really do it in one competition. They don't have the financial clout of some of the other top 14 sides. They give it a crack, and they'll upset a couple of teams in this competition, and they'll continue to do so. But they just don't have the nature or the players to try and really take this competition on.
And what of Gloucester, Sean? What do you think they've learned from this competition?
It goes back to that Cardiff Blues discussion we had. Inconsistency. You know, I think, like, I coached at Gloucester, and Kingsham was a fortress. It's no longer like that. Teams go there now, you know, expecting that they can turn them over, and that's what they need to get back to, is that sort of home mentality. Here, I think they probably send the A team out, and again, with an eye on the English Premiership, they're out. They were humiliated last Friday night, so I think let's done and dusted, sweep it under the carpet, move on.
Let's go to the predictions then for both these Pool 2 matches on Saturday, the 19th of January at 5:30 kickoff GMT. Munster against Exeter. Wow, what a game. Toman Park, the venue, Virgin Media, Channel 4 and BT Sport 2. Tom, where's this game going?
They have to get a 5-pointer, so I'm going to go with Munster. I think they'll be too strong at home.
I think this is the tie of the week. I really do. I think it's going to be a heavyweight contest. Bang is going to be fireworks and collisions. But I think it'll be 3 tries to Munster, and Exeter will get the losing bonus point.
Cast, Gloucester. That's at Stade Pierre Fabre, BN Sports, BT Sport 3.
I think it'll be a horrible slugfest and a 9-6 win to Cast.
Tom?
I'll go 12-6 Cast.
Right. Let's talk about these predictions then. A word on round 5. Rory Lawson last week was our Extra pundit. 6 out of 10 for Rory. 8 out of 10
you
for Tom.
You got 8 out of 10?
Yeah. Now, look, Rory, if you're listening, I knew it was going to end up like that.
He said Gloucester would win.
And he gave me some stick when we walked out of here as well. You're going to lose in these predictions.
Oh, he's not here, Lawson, actually, to speak for himself.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
You don't care anyway.
You can't even answer to a podcast.
He predicted round 5 wins for Munster and Exeter, and those matches were the difference. To Pool 5, where Edinburgh regained top spot by defeating Toulon 28-17 at the Stade Felix Mile. What a performance for Richard Cockerell's side. And Montpellier thrashed Newcastle 45-8 to remain in contention. So the pool, at the moment, Edinburgh top with 19, Montpellier 3 points back with 16, Newcastle and Toulon out of it. This weekend, it's Edinburgh against Montpellier. You were talking about mouth-watering games, Sean. This is another.
Oh, isn't it just? They're a form team, aren't they? You know, fair play to Richard Cockerell. I had a dust-up with him in the corridor once.
How did that go?
I walked away before he knocked me out. But I'm so impressed with what he's done there. You know, he's really turned them around, because they had a poor culture there as a city club or a city region. And they've just put in fantastic performances. They can play 2 different ways. They can play tight, the Cocker style, or they're playing some expansive stuff. And I just think, no, they're on a roll. I think they'll beat them.
So how would you play against Montpellier?
I continue what they're doing. I think when they get the opportunity in the 22, set piece right, ram it home. They've got a great front 5 now, very physical. And when it opens up, loose play and loose kicks, they come to life. People like Darcy Gray and Blair Kinghorn, they're really on fire. So, you know, they've got an all-court game.
I think they've got to shift the ball around. You know, Montpellier went back to what they're really good at the weekend and basically just battered Newcastle into the ground. They're all about physicality. Willemse, Van Rensburg, you know, those guys, they are enormous. So you have to try and shift the ball around. And I think that's what Edinburgh are capable of now. I think it was quite interesting. I think their attacking, kicking game was quite adept as well. They were more than happy to use that. Kinghorn scored off it. And, you know, if Mata can still be pulling out offloads like that all day
well,
long,
it's
then...
Oh, wow. Can you believe it? I show my kids so many times today, they won't believe it. They're bored of it now. But you're not going to see that again. Well, you might see it from him again. Unbelievable.
But they've become the offloading kings, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And ironically, I was talking to Richard the start of the season. I was covering a Pro 14 game. And he said, he's a good player, good ball carrier, but he doesn't offload very much. So, I mean, well, he's obviously been working with him because he's doing it now. That's
maybe
for sure.
Maybe he dropped it. Maybe dropped it and just disappeared over his left shoulder.
And in terms of the importance for Scottish rugby, I mean, since professionalism has taken place, there have never been two sides in the knockout stages. This is a huge weekend for both these teams, Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Massive. And it's been all Glasgow, hasn't it? They've been sort of the Scottish side. So to see Edinburgh come back, you know, and really perform is fantastic, really. And as I said, they have an all-court game and they've earned the right, haven't they, to have a home game. To give themselves a chance of a home quarter final. And how great would that be? Because they'll be difficult to beat, any side going up to Edinburgh in a quarter final.
What about Montpellier, though, Tom? I know you've discussed a little about them, but they were pretty rough and ready to start the tournament with, weren't they? I mean, no one really knew how they were playing, what they were playing, who they were playing with. They didn't really function as a team, and they're somehow in this competition.
Yeah, they've been pretty slow out of the blocks in their domestic competition as well. Fairly disappointing in the top 14. But they, you know, they kept themselves in it. That was a really disappointing result for them a couple of months ago in Newcastle up at Kingston Park. But they really made this one count. I think Huerson at 10 was brilliant for them. And OK, they're missing Cruden at the moment. And that's been a bit of an issue for them. They've lost their big players to injury. Ndolo was out for a long time. A lot of them have missed a lot of game time. But they're now starting to come back. And if they get through this weekend, this is a big game, because if Edinburgh Rugby try and play too much and they make too many mistakes, then Montpellier will be all over them.
Let's speak to Rob Moffat, the former Edinburgh head coach. He's on the pod with us now. Hi there, Rob.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, great to have you with us. What have you made first of all of Montpellier? We talked about Edinburgh a bit. I'd love to get your insight on them, but I mean, this is going to be a difficult one for Richard Cockerell, because there are some real heavyweights in this team, some experienced players too.
Yeah, no, and they've obviously had a bit of resurgence as well, and they've got guys like, you know, Vern Cutter's obviously there, Richie Gray, you know, two guys who know the Edinburgh players and the Scottish players well. So I think it'll be an interesting one. But Edinburgh are going really well just now. You know, obviously a really good win yesterday, and I think everybody would be impressed how they played yesterday.
What aside from their actual play, do you think Richard Cockerell has tried to change up in Edinburgh that's made such a difference?
It's a good point. He's obviously got three Scottish coaches working with him, and I think they're good lads and doing a good job. I think he's instilled obviously a real good work ethic and a real good discipline right through the squad. When you watch them play just now, they are just very, very consistent in everything they do. But I certainly was impressed the way they took the game to Toulon yesterday, because they didn't play the game they've been playing the last sort of 6 weeks, or the game they've played most of the season, but they certainly played more fluid and more open game. I'm not sure if they'll do that against Montpellier.
Hey, Rob, Sean here. Great to hear from you.
Sean, yeah, good.
Just wondering, the magnitude of this game, Rob, is the pressure going to be a bit much for these Edinburgh players? There's so much at stake.
I don't think so. I think when I look at them just now, the thing that sort of strikes me is that there is, every team has, Sean, and everyone knows, that the big players for Edinburgh are really at the top of their game, like Stuart McInally, Mata, that they are for me the two players, Henry Pergus as well, but they are really running the game and they are right on top of the game. So no, I think they'll be really excited. I don't think anybody will let them get carried away. I think they'll be okay. I think it'll be a cracking game, and I certainly hope to get a good crowd. If they don't get a good crowd for this one, they'll never get a good crowd.
I'm sure they don't have a problem selling this game. Yeah, I mean, you're also assistant coach at Glasgow as well, Rob. So both these teams could make it. It would be huge for the game north of the border if they could. But what do you make of Dave Rennie's side?
Yeah, no, I think the difference just now is that it's such a long season, and I'm not saying I watched Glasgow today, and they're just not quite firing. You know, they are. I think maybe their big players need to really perform and really drive the team. I like the way Dave Rennie just, everybody knows how Glasgow are going to play, and but teams are probably stopping them play. But I think, and you don't want to really talk about it, but I think the thing that struck me about Glasgow in the last few weeks is the amount of errors they make are huge. You know, the player really, everybody knows the game they play. It's a real high tempo, fast game. But even today, I mean, they make one hell of a lot of errors. So they've got to cut that out, and their big players have got to really perform for them. But no, it's exciting. I think everybody up here will be really dead chuffed, and hopefully they'll both get through.
It'd be great if they could. Rob, thanks very much indeed for joining us on the podcast. Rob Moffat there, the former Edinburgh head coach. Prediction time, you two. Both these Pool 5 matches are on Friday night at 7:45 on the 18th of January. Edinburgh against Montpellier. BT Murrayfield, BT Sport 3, BN Sports. I'm sure they will not have a problem selling this one. Sean, who's
going
to win it?
I'm going with my Pro 14 hat on, and I agree with Rob Moffat. I think Edinburgh have the game and the momentum to beat Montpellier, and I think they'll win with a bonus point.
I've changed my mind about twice already during this podcast. And I had Montpellier down to start with, which would put them on 20, which actually would... If Glasgow get pumped, that puts them more higher than Glasgow. Mm.
Because if there is a big crowd there, that's going to be a tough one for Montpellier. But do they have the resources and the style and the manpower to win with 5 points?
They've definitely got the resources. They've definitely got the manpower. The style is questionable
it's debatable.
At the moment. They have a style. I guess when I was first looking at this, I thought, well, Montpellier, they'll get a win and you know, Edinburgh get 1 point. There is a lot riding on this, and it'd be silly for us to write Montpellier totally off, but Sean and I both have.
put so succinctly as well. Sean, what about Newcastle Toulon?
I was impressed with Newcastle in the first half, as much as I was disappointed with Montpellier. They sort of run away with it in the second half. But I think Newcastle up there are difficult to beat. And I'm really disappointed with Toulon at the moment. You know, I spoke with Reece Webb a couple of weeks ago. He's been struggling with injury, but I think they're struggling with lots of things, not just injury. They don't have the game at the moment, and travelling all the way to Newcastle is going to be difficult. Newcastle win for me.
Friday night lights in Newcastle, there's only one winner. That's got to be Kingston Park, faithful, loving life.
You know all about Friday night lights in Newcastle.
The Geordies will be loving that one.
You got something to tell us?
Off air.
No.
That game's on BT Sport 2 and 4K UHD and BN Sports. Thank you, fellas. Well, the Heineken Champions Cup final has proven to be a really hot ticket. Heidemar means there are no tickets currently on general public sale for the match at St James's Park on Saturday, the 11th of May. Allocations are being held for supporters of the two clubs that will contest the final. A limited number of tickets may come back onto public sale in the future. HeinekenChampionsCup.com and the competition's social media channels are where you should go for the latest information. But if you want to be at finals weekend in Newcastle, you can get tickets now for the European Rugby Challenge Cup final. And we'll talk about that competition next.
You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show, the official European rugby podcast.
This is the Champions Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Sean Holly. Let's talk now about the European Rugby Challenge Cup. Some interesting scorelines. I think the pick of them, though, Tom, was probably the Clermont Auvergne Northampton game. That was basketball rugby, wasn't it?
It did turn out to be basketball rugby, actually, in the end. I went into that game thinking, oh, I'm going to be commentating on a game that will be so one-sided. But it was an amazing game. 48-40, 13 tries, some of the most sublime rugby to some of the most ridiculous rugby. Northampton shot themselves in the foot a bit. They made so many turnovers, and they'd made 76 turnovers prior to that game in just this competition this year. They made a few more last night and were severely punished. Pasili Yatto was amazing for Clermont, and you can see why they're top of the top 14. Yeah.
They're just an extraordinary team, aren't they? And what about the next round? Because it's getting interesting now, Sean, isn't it? That there are a couple of teams here who are desperately looking for a quarter-final place.
Yeah, I think there's some nailed-on qualifiers. Obviously, Clermont being one of those. Sale have got a home game. They'll go through La Rochelle. I think Bristol Bears, with their performance in Russia, they'll now win at home and go through as well, as will Harlequins. So for me, it looks like there's one spot left and two Pro 14 teams going away to France. Connacht are going to Bordeaux and Benetton are going to Grenoble. I think whichever of those teams manage to get a win in France might find themselves in that sort of 7th or 8th point, and then ironically knock out the Ospreys, who lost at home to Worcester, surprisingly.
Now, you can see highlights from the majority of matches in the European Rugby Challenge Cup on challengecuprugby.com. And for all the latest on this competition, follow at ER Challenge Cup on Twitter and go to the European Rugby Challenge Cup page on Facebook.
Go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com to play Champions Fantasy Rugby.
It's time to chat about Champions Fantasy Rugby, which, like us, you can play on HeinekenChampionsCup.com. Thomas, have you had a good weekend?
It's been okay. Johnny Gray and Ollie Robinson didn't get me many points. Naught between them.
I haven't had a good weekend either, in fairness.
Colby got me the most. I switched him at the last minute, and he dotted one down, didn't he, at the last moment for Toulouse.
McAnally got some points to me. Ramos did pretty well. Oh. He's been my banker. Without Ramos, I think I would be really struggling.
Mate, if you're relying on Stuart McAnally to be the he got you well, three
I
got, points.
Yeah, but I changed. Camille Schatt was the guy I had before, and he was even worse.
There's no way you'd say that to Camille Schatt's face.
I will never say that to Camille Schatt's face.
You're always on a winner when you got CJ Standard 8, didn't you?
Yes, well, thank God I do have Standard as 8.
Well, you can half his points because Ollie Robinson didn't play, obviously, and so he's on 3.5.
It's not easy to predict, but I think I still am ahead of you, Thomas, and that's the main
thing. Well, yeah, and as Rory pointed out, some of my global league position's not great at 4,395, but in Newcastle, I'm smashing it. I'm 60th.
Well, that's all that matters, isn't it? I actually think we played the wrong sting earlier, Thomas. This is what we should have played.
Next, James and Tom play Champions Fantasy Rugby badly.
Well, it's true.
That could be fair enough when you don't even realise that two of your players aren't playing. That's pretty average, isn't it?
At least you didn't
I'm going to chuck in that triple point.
Why? You're going to have to, because if you were playing your player triple points card this round, which player would you put it on? Looking at your team.
Well, let's look forward.
I mean, they've only been getting one or two points, haven't they?
Colby
by a country mile.
Well, yeah, because he's going to be playing against Bath, isn't he? In my opinion, they're going to get thumped.
Play a joker there. You've got to.
You've got to. You can play the classic version like us or the daily fantasy rugby game via HeinekenChampionsCup.com. And if you can't be at a round 6 game, don't forget to watch the Heineken Champions Cup live on TV this weekend. All the matches are on BT Sport in the UK and Ireland. BN Sports is the home of the Champions Cup in France, with the majority of fixtures from each round. FR Dirt have the Toulouse-Bath match, while Channel 4 in the UK and Virgin Media in Ireland are showing Munster against Exeter Chiefs live on free-to-air television. And in the US, you can watch all the Heineken Champions Cup matches on the NBC Sports Gold platform. Right, as it stands, of the 8 teams, Saracens are top, then it's Racing, Leinster, Edinburgh and Munster. And the 3 left remaining teams, runners-up, Glasgow, Ulster and Toulouse. The teams missing out so far are Montpellier and Exeter. The quarterfinal lineup would be Saracens, Toulouse, Racing, Ulster, Leinster, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Munster. And you're shaking your head already, Tom, which means it's obviously going to be nothing like that in about a week's time. Well, but which is the key match, first of all? Which is the key match, do you think, which is going to really affect that outlook?
Edinburgh-Montpellier will be a fantastic game that we've already mentioned. And that may see Montpellier creep in and Glasgow creep out the back door. To be honest, there's some pretty big games all around.
I think the Ulster one going to Welford Road could, you know, what will they get the win and by how many? Actually, the way I've predicted it, dear James, I got a feeling we'll end up with a Leinster-Munster quarterfinal. And an Edinburgh-Glasgow quarterfinal. So,
that would be horrid, wouldn't it?
So you've got the same home...
As it stands at the moment, I've gone with those top four.
Yeah.
And then I got Toulouse, Ulster, Munster and Glasgow.
I mean, Toulouse are dangerously close to not being in the quarterfinals at all.
Yeah, that's a banker, isn't it, against Bath, surely?
Yeah, 5 points.
I know, it amazes me how far down the pecking order they are, given the season they've had.
But I've got 5 points also for Munster. I've got 4 points for Ulster. So if they could get a bonus point at Leicester, that would be really key for them because that would kick them on. And then it's all about who you end up facing, isn't it?
Yes. You need calculators, don't you, on the final weekend. Yeah. Thanks, fellas. A great chat as always. That's all we've got time for on the Champions Rugby Show. Don't forget, Heineken Champions Cup Round 6 gets underway on Friday evening with Newcastle Toulon and Edinburgh Montpellier in Pool 5. Saturday sees the conclusion of Pools 2, 3 and 4, while Pool 1 gets wrapped up on Sunday when we discover which teams have earned quarterfinal places and those crucial home fixtures. We'll discuss those last eight ties when we return. But until then, stay up to date on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Plus, visit HeinekenChampionsCup.com for Champions Fantasy Rugby and all the best European rugby content. But for now, from Tom May, Sean Holly and myself, James Burridge, it's goodbye.